This week, we're going to begin a new series on what it means to be disciples of the internet and how that has affected us in ways we don't even realize, but it has. And what I'm mostly after is the recovery of faith and mystery and wonder, and even into what might the Christian mystics down through the centuries have to say to us about this cultural moment and how we protect our hearts in it. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wild at Heart podcast in the week of April 8th. Happy April, everybody. Alex and Alan in the studio this week. And over the next several weeks, we're going to have a really delightful conversation around the ways, really about protecting faith, but how the internet and being disciples to the internet has really actually shaped the soul in ways that we haven't named, I think, as a culture. And more importantly, into the deeper things of protecting faith, hope, and love. So you're going to enjoy this. We're going to enjoy this. Yeah. But before we do that, let's take our pause, let go of everything that's been clamoring for your heart and soul already today and already this week. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I release it all. I give everyone and everything to you. Everyone, everything, to get out of the madness and to get out of everything that's already got me spinning. Help me to release it now. Just take a moment, friends. Name it, release it, give it all to God. And we do this in order to come back to you. And so I pray that your life and your breath would fill me today, God, and that you would meet me here in this podcast. Recenter my life in you and out of the madness. Amen. So welcome back, guys. Alex, it's been a while since you've been in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Catch us up. How are you?
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, to be honest, I am tired.
Are you?
We had a beautiful event this last weekend, and I haven't had a chance to stop since we did that. And those things are amazing and beautiful, but they take some things out of you. And
it does.
Yeah. So I'm a little tired and just didn't get a chance to get some downtime. I feel like a bad disciple of yours right now because you're always saying, go get some rest, go get some downtime.
Yes, hasn't happened. I'm the one who pulled you into the studio. Yeah.
And I would be here no matter what, because this one I'm actually really excited about. So excited to dive in to what you have for us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. And then after this, get some rest?
No. No, Isaac actually has a track meet this afternoon.
Oh, so sweet.
I guess my rest will be on the track field. So he does throws.
You're going to be on the bleachers?
Watch him throw a discus. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The discus.
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
Oh, and he's the man. He does the whole, spins around a couple times and chucks that thing.
Come on.
It's pretty cool to watch.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Alan, how's your well-being coming in this week?
It's running on fumes. So, I mean, this morning is a great
example. Guys, but this is not this is not good for our listeners. We're supposed to be setting an example here.
Man, I'm just being real, but the last few days I've gotten up about 5:30 to try to finish some of my tax work that we have to get into our tax accountant. And I hate it. Like, it's the least favorite thing I do all year long. And the numbers, you know, I was trying to crunch and find where the old data was. And there's just nothing about it that's enjoyable, but it feels stressful. And especially at 5:30 a.m., you know. And so it's taken longer than I wanted. And it's just not a great way to begin the morning.
So when we took our pause, were you able to release some of that?
Some of it.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So like we are coming off an event, a beautiful event. We did a leadership kind of a summit thing here for some folks. And yeah, I feel that. I feel the depletion.
Yeah.
And then last night, I was so looking forward to rest last night in the evening. And Stace reminds me, honey, remember that dinner that we're going to?
last night.
Oh yeah. I'm like, okay, babe. And then it was just one of those things of, all right, God, like, yeah. I think you're in this. You got to breathe some life into me.
Mm. Yeah.
And he always does. Mm. I do need to give credit.
Yes.
He always does when we ask for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, even as I'm pulling out of the driveway, I'm like, really? Mm. Okay. Breathe some life into me. So.
Well, so was the dinner enjoyable when you got there?
Well, they don't listen to this podcast. So I can say it's an act of love.
Yeah.
It's something that we do occasionally with these particular people. It's just a way of loving.
Yeah.
They're kind of difficult to be with. Okay. But it's, yeah. Enjoy isn't the right thing. Was it loving? It was. And is it good to do that? It is. Mm-hmm. And do I begin to see the effects of love in their lives? I think I do. But man, I want it out of it. I want it out of it. Well, so
I'll pray they don't start listening to the podcast this week.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you they're not. So, all right. So you guys know where we're headed. I want to bring our listeners into where we're headed because first, a couple thoughts. One thing to our listeners, we become aware of the wash of content in the world. I mean, everyone is taking in massive amounts of content. Hmm. And a lot of it from really good sources. I mean, there's just such excellent teaching and podcasts and interesting things.
Yep.
History, right? And you know, whatever your particular vibe is, you can go find really interesting stuff on it. And we fell into that trap of just keep delivering good content every week. We're trying to. And when we did the quarterly review, Alan and I were like, wow, we are moving way too fast. So what I want to tell the listeners is we're making a decision now to slow these conversations down. And don't just go new content every week, but rather let's linger over things so that it stays with us for one thing, and that it gets down in us in ways that are just helpful versus just, oh, that's interesting. Click what's next. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Click what's next. Right. Okay. So I've been thinking a lot about faith, and what a beautiful, powerful thing faith is, and yet how fragile faith also is, that it is life-saving. It can change your whole outlook. It can rescue a relationship. You know, faith is a very, very powerful thing, but it's also very fragile, kind of like coral reefs, you know, beautiful ecosystems, but you can damage them pretty easily. And how do we protect faith in an hour like this? Yeah. And that got me thinking about the erosive effect of being disciples of the internet. And so for our listeners, our staff has been meeting, praying, thinking about these things. And I went ahead and wrote some things out because they were on my heart. And I want to read a little bit of what I wrote. And in order to open up the conversation here, okay? So here's what I was thinking about. I marvel at how something as powerful as faith could be at the same time so fragile, so easily shaken. And I think a lot of people really are struggling with their faith in different ways these days. But then I realized, I suppose love is like that too, that it can be undercut with a single devastating sentence from someone that you love and trusted. It's like, ooh, and suddenly love is really, really damaged or even like killed. And so my concern is that our faculty of faith has been severely undercut and made very, very fragile by something most of us are unaware of. And that something has to do with the fact that we are disciples of the internet, all of us. Now, I know, like, you're going to push back on that and go, no way, no way. But let me point this out. You are a disciple of the system that tutors you, where you turn to on a daily basis for guidance in living, okay? And so for most of us, that means we are disciples of the internet, even if we call ourselves disciples of Christ. And I'm not referring to the content that you search for. I'm referring to the process and what we have learned from years of the process itself. For one thing, the internet has discipled your souls, discipled our souls, to anticipate immediate answers. I mean, gang, we are just used to get online, get on your phone, and look something up, and you get 3 million answers in 0.003 seconds, right? And there's no waiting. The saints of ages past would have been appalled at that. For when you turn to inquire of God now, and you're not answered in the same speed that the internet answers you, or the same clarity, you feel that either he isn't listening, or that you're not spiritual enough, or that somehow that kind of prayer doesn't work, right? You believe the two of you are distant from one another because your soul has been programmed for immediate responses. Now, I think there's a lot of other things that we're going to unpack as well, but just that's kind of the introductory thought. I think faith is fragile. I think it's something that needs to be protected. I think that we are all disciples of the internet, and it's begun to have this effect on us. Actually, it's had a massive effect already on us, not begun.
Right.
Like years of being in that process.
Yeah.
React to that.
John, the first time you shared this, and I think you started it similarly of, you know, faith is fragile, and I want to name that you're a disciple of the internet. And just that immediate statement, I was like, I'm not a disciple of the internet. I'm a disciple of Jesus. What are you talking about?
Totally.
But then as you got into the idea of how it has shaped us, not, like you said, not the content. It's not that the internet informs me content-wise because, I think we'll talk more about this. It's a lot of conflicting stuff on the internet. But it is that process of I expect an immediate response. And I expect that everything should be able to be figured out, right?
Yes.
And
we are so conditioned to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that idea of a disciple of someone or something is someone who becomes what the thing is, right? And that's what the internet is. Immediate answers. It's expect everything. And I am programmed that way now. It's really eye-opening.
Again, the idea is, where do you turn on a daily basis for guidance in living? Let's just start with that idea. Where do you turn on? Okay, so I need to know, you know, what are the new developments in ADHD for children, and how might that help me as a grandfather with some of my grandchildren? Like, I need to know that. Click, you know, or like vitamin B12 and how much should I be taking? Click, you know, or how do I fix the thermostat that seems to be broken? Do I need to replace this, or is it, you know, it's just, it is so instinctual. In fact, I was asking Nick on our team the other day, got a new computer. Thank you. And you hooked it up and it did whatever it did. But now suddenly my texts are coming to me. You know, every time I get a text on my phone, it's appearing on my computer screen. I'm like, no, stop it. Like, I don't want to be that dialed in to the world. And so I went to Nick, you know, he's sharp on our staff, computer guy. And I'm like, hey, Nick, how do you turn this off? You know what he did?
Googled it.
He Googled it. Yeah. So you see what I mean? Yeah. It's just that daily, this is where we turn for advice and guidance in living.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not talking about the deep things of your faith, although you may look up very beautiful, important things for your faith, right? It's just, we are disciples of the system that tutors us. Yeah. So like, what have you looked up recently?
Oh, well, recently, so our dryer went out.
Yes.
I'd push the button, it would light up, but it wouldn't start.
Yes.
And so I've gotten over the last few years really to love home repair and having God father me in learning how to do those things. And yet the place I turned first was the internet, and I got lost in a thread of multiple videos and multiple tips and techniques. And it ended up being this thing called, I feel really smart saying this because I never knew this word before, a thermistor and a thermal fuse. But I spent hours on the internet. And I think, and then I've also, in my search, I was looking back recently, I looked up a Brakemaster cylinder because I had to repair that on a truck.
Yeah.
And tequila, because I was trying to find a new brand of tequila because I like tequila.
Yeah.
So those were my kind of top three in recent like days. But what gets to me, like, you know, you talk about a disciple of the internet, and I'm with you, Alex. I hate that phrase. I don't even like the internet. But I realized, John, as you were saying that, I do look to it to make life easier, faster, simpler, better. And that's a kind of a dangerous slope to get on when you start going, okay, if I want my life to be easier, simpler, quicker, I want to be more efficient, this is my source code to get there.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. No question. I'm actually lost back on thermal fuse. That is such a cool, it sounds like Star Wars, you know? Yeah. Oh, we need a new thermo fuse before we can take off. Yeah.
I got stuck on tequila.
You did? Yeah.
Well, I'm curious if you found anything worthwhile.
Oh, I did. Totally. You know?
All right. Yeah. I'll talk after this.
Okay. Again, it's not the content, it's the process. Okay. That everyone, I mean, if you're a human being on this planet and you have access to a phone or a laptop or a pad or anything, desktop, you are a disciple of the internet. You are a disciple of the process. And the process over years has actually shaped our souls. I want to name this and get it out there and get it clear for people. For example, the immediate response thing. That I realized, oh my gosh, now when I go to God, I'm just programmed for immediate, because I'm so used to it, right? Mm-hmm. Click, answer. And not just one answer, like you were saying. Here's 16 videos on replacing the brake cylinder. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into this, but like, and which one's right? And so I got to watch several of them to compare what the advice is. And that is tutoring. That is discipleship. A guy yesterday told me, he says, I feel like I'm fathered by YouTube.
Yes.
Wow.
Because it's where I go for videos on how to get stuff done around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, and when you were mentioning the master cylinder thing, I was thinking back to like, what did we used to do? And I remember being a young man, like in my teens, first car, right? And it was an old hatchback. and it would have an issue. And if I wanted to deal with it, I went down to the auto parts store. I found the book that corresponds to that year of that vehicle.
Shelton's manuals.
And I'd buy it.
Come on.
And then I'd sit there and leaf through it and try to find that piece and try to decipher what they're talking about and how I replace that or fix that thing.
Yes.
Alex, you know, when
it
you were saying that.
Process, right?
Yeah. And before the internet, like what did we do? Well, even with the internet on this dryer thermistor thermal fuse thing, the internet was helpful. But what really helped was I went to Lowe's and I found about a 75-year-old guy who was working back in that section. And he spent like half an hour with me. And it was hands-on showing me the different pieces, the tools. And like, even in this age of high-tech internet, that was what fathered me most. Was him and that one-on-one time, which is how it would have happened probably 30 years ago.
Well, exactly. Right. That's where I thought the story was going was you're stuck with asking someone.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask my neighbor.
Yep.
Got to ask my uncle. Got to ask my brother.
Yep.
Right? Or the guy at the auto parts store, somebody.
Yeah.
Right? I used to love hanging out. I loved hanging out with my Volkswagen mechanic because he was this funny personality, you know, who was totally into talk radio. And so he'd have it blasting the whole time. He knew every single thing about Volkswagens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just so fun to be around him and go, what's that? What's that? How come you're doing that? And over time, able to fix more and more things, right?
Right.
Okay. So we don't like the idea that we're disciples of the internet. But the fact is, you are a disciple of the system that tutors you. And so, you know, we would add YouTube to that and, you know, Google and YouTube, right? It's like that's where we go for everything from simple stuff. Where are the best tacos in Scottsdale? To really profound things. What's the latest treatment for dementia in my aging parents?
Yep.
Like we turn there for small things and big things, but it's a system that tutors us. Mm-hmm. And I am really concerned about its effects on faith. And let me go on to explain why. I think the speed thing is really important. I think we expect immediate answers from God. And when we don't get them, it's frustrating. And I think it can really throw you with your spiritual life, that you feel like, wow, I suck at this. Like I can't hear from God, or he's not listening, because we're so used to immediate answers.
Right.
Okay. Let me go on a little bit more here. I want to read a little bit more of what I wrote. So I think what's happened is that this has had an effect on our soul that has turned all of us into weary, skeptical pragmatists. Okay. Weary, skeptical pragmatists, every one of us. Because here's why. To live just about anywhere on the planet at this time is to have access to the entire base of human knowledge in a manner of a few clicks. And our spiritual forebears would have been aghast at that too. In fact, they would have seen it as some sort of seductive, malevolent trap for the soul. Really, you have the entire base of human knowledge available to you in a few seconds? I mean, they would have concluded that the end had come, that the end of all things had come with that sort of, you know, access to knowledge, couple clicks away. So much information is available to us on every conceivable subject. We haven't noticed what this has done to us, like the effect on the soul, right? Because this is just our normal. Everybody's like, yeah, so? All right, these are all true examples. Someone forwards me a video featuring a leading neuroscientist, right? On the importance of vitamin B12. The message is, everybody should be taking more B12 for mental health and for energy. Okay. we read a notable economist telling us that bonds are the safest place for our savings right now. You know, you watch a TikTok video showing the correct way to exercise or how to lose weight. And the idea is, okay, thank you. I got it. Now we can thrive. Now we can thrive. But the very next day, we're given conflicting information on everything we thought was reliable, right? Because another expert steps forward, true example, okay, to tell us, actually, your anxiety might be caused by the amount of B12 you're taking. And you're like, wait, what? And then somebody else steps forward and says, actually, bonds are a terrible decision right now. Or the way that you're exercising is actually damaging your body. Or this one's really, really brutal. The whole world of weight loss is so heartbreaking. You know, somebody else steps forward and says, oh, that program that you've been on, that thing, yeah, that's actually programmed your cells to retain weight. And you go, what? Okay, so the leading cancer centers recommend you wear a hat and sunscreen to prevent skin cancer. Oops, new research shows that Americans now have a vitamin D deficiency because none of their body is exposed to the sun anymore,
yeah,
right?
Gosh.
Okay, you see what I mean?
Right.
This is our daily. Yeah. This is our daily, people. This constant contradiction and undermining of data, right? Ad infinitum.
Right.
Okay. The problem is we cling to the belief that information is the way to our salvation, right? To human flourishing. But information is constantly contradicted, undermined, or just simply laid waste. Mm. And the thing is this, information is seductive and capricious. It offers refuge and then it takes it away the next moment or the next day or the following week, right? And so what has happened is this is my concern, is that life with the internet has severely eroded our confidence that we can even know what's true while accelerating the drive to get to the truth. Mm-hmm. It's like a gambling addiction, okay? We want to thrive. We want our loved ones to thrive. Well, what about dementia? What about ADHD? You know, how often do most married couples have sex? What should I do, right? Where is the best place for my investments right now? Okay. We're convinced that in order to thrive, we have to get to the right information, the latest science, okay? But that information keeps changing. The scraps we hold today overturned by new facts tomorrow. This is what has happened. It has made us weary and skeptical pragmatists, right? It's exhausting to have this constantly undercut, especially if we're concerned about the faculty of faith and belief.
Yeah.
Can you feel that? Are you aware as I'm naming it?
Yeah. I mean, when you were giving those examples, Kelly and I have had lots of talks about coffee. And as a lot of the listeners know, I love coffee and I enjoy it day and night. And so she was sharing some data about a year ago. Oh, well, you know, coffee's actually really good for you. So this is really good news because of the chemicals and the way it works in the brain. And it does these things throughout your body. And I'm like, well, then I'm in awesome shape. I'm like the healthiest man in the world.
Yeah.
And then a few months ago, she said, oh, I was doing some new research though. And it actually, because of the toxicity of some of the chemicals that they fertilize the ground with and get into the beans, it's actually better not to drink coffee. And back and forth. And, you know, the same thing you're saying, John, like I found myself weary from the whole conversation.
Yes.
And just basically exhausted with, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's right. So I'm ultimately just going to make a choice and go with it because for the rest of my life, it's going to go back and forth on that and 99% of the other things.
Everything else you are looking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, John. confession time. So lately, I've been taking kind of the deep dive on my health, getting some testing done. I'm 47, turning 48 this year, and it just feels like time to make sure everything's working the way it should.
Yes.
And so I got test results back, and you know, it's just pages of blood tests and all these different categories. I have no idea what they mean, but it's the age of the internet. Like, I don't have to wait for my doctor to get those results. They come right to my phone on the app. Like the lab where I got my blood test results done said, hey, download this app and we'll send you your results, you know, as soon as they arrive. And like throughout a whole week, each day, a new set of those results would come in. And then I'd be like, oh,
on your phone.
What's the next one? Oh no, like that one's not good. I wonder what's coming tomorrow. And you know what happened? Like the very next thing I do, and my appointment's not for another couple of days with my doctor. But as each one comes in, I'm like, the next thing I'm doing is I'm going to Google and I'm going, what is lipoprotein, whatever it is, BCDA? What?
Yes.
And what does that number mean? And am I going to be okay? And it's just getting me all stirred up. And I finally, at some point, I'm like, this is not healthy. And, you know, I go to God and I'm like, you know, I'm getting stirred up here, Lord. And he's like, wait till you talk to your doctor, like put it down.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. At some point, I just had to let it go and go, I'm going to meet with my doctor. It's okay. I don't have to get this all figured out.
Yes.
But the temptation is dive in. You can figure all this out. You can know exactly where you're at. And that's the seductive offer that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It is. The information is really seductive.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it feels like it's going to offer well-being. Confidence, or at least correction, then if not confidence, well, then not now I know what to do. I need to stop eating this, or I need to start doing this, or right?
Right. Yep.
It appears to offer refuge, and then it takes it away the next minute or the next day, or when Kelly comes in and says, oh, hey, I just read something else, right? And what's fascinating is even as you were telling that story, do you know? Some of our listeners were going, that's right. It's not good for you. And others of our listeners were justifying it. No, no, no. There are health benefits. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a faculty in us that is the faculty of belief. Okay. It's a faculty. Mm-hmm. Like hope is a faculty, or love is a faculty within us. And they're strengthened or eroded, these faculties are, day to day, week to week, year to year. Hopefully, your faculties of faith and belief are being strengthened and deepened over time so that you are a person of robust faith, whatever your circumstances may be. Okay, that's our spiritual fathers and mothers would say, this is very, very important. Faith is a delicate thing. It's a fragile thing. I mean, just like love, it can be undercut, you know, by one event.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
By one diagnosis. And so our spiritual forebears would say, you must protect your faith from different assaults. And here we are, disciples of the internet, every last one of us, disciples of the process, not the content again, okay? Because everybody's looking for different content that is constantly eroding belief, confident belief, right? So, I mean, how confident are you right now that the news is actually the news? Like it is delivering to you in a reliable way the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
not confident at all. Man, I'm trying to remember. There was something recently. I remember the news talking about this thing, and it was gospel truth, and now it wasn't gospel truth.
Yeah.
It was absolutely wrong. And that just happens over and over and over again. So it just feels a little futile at this point.
Right. So people, you know, now that it's called legacy news, you know, the traditional outlets. And so now you've got all these alternative and people are finding their own. Most people get their news from social media.
That's right.
Now. But all I want to point out, and see, again, now people are already going, oh, no, you don't understand. I have found the place of reliability.
Yes. Right.
Well, see, there you go. You're a disciple of the internet process. Mm-hmm. You're like a gambling addict. You have desperately needed to get to the truth. And so you've, you know, like a little mole or something, you just, you know, weasel your way through this thing and that video and this thing and that video and filter this and go through that. And I found it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's going to be taken away from you in a week or a month or a year. Like something's going to come up, right? That undermining process.
Right. The news, I mean, we want to be informed, and who wants to be the one who doesn't know what's going on? You know, I think as a human, we have that deep desire to be in the know because we care. But yeah, I mean, legacy media, there's an agenda there. There's, you know, the whole goal is to get more people watching. And so everything is sensationalized and opinionated. And it's no matter where you look, it feels like to me, it's all based on opinion. And that's where I've had to turn so much of it off and just say, I don't want to not know. I want to be informed, but God, how do I be informed by what you're doing in the world? When I turn to any of those sources, it doesn't feel like I'm getting.
Okay. And again, already our listeners are like, no, you can trust this news source. And they're going to email us things. No, you're missing the point. Okay. Right. This isn't about exercise or finances or lipoproteins or the news. That's not the point we're trying to make.
Right.
We're saying as a disciple of the internet, the human experience in this world right now is the constant contradiction of information.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the world, as you're saying, John, the world has turned into skeptics. Like, I think we're all skeptical.
Weary.
And it doesn't matter where you land on opinions.
Yeah.
You're skeptical of it all.
Yeah. Weary.
Yeah.
And skeptical. Right. Because I just want to go back to and your experience with the news that you were describing. And Alan, what does it feel like in the soul to be in that experience?
It feels draining. It feels, I can tell my fear and worry accelerates along with the skeptic. I don't feel like I'm getting to the truth, but it's stirring up a lot of unanswered questions that I know the news in that it, no matter where you go, can answer.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it leaves me, you know, when the newscaster at the end of whatever social media or broadcast or anything says, you know, here's all the trauma in the world and have a good evening and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah. Okay. So again, we're just trying to ease into this topic. Faith and love and hope are actually all very, very powerful forces in the human heart. I mean, people accomplish unbelievable things by holding on to faith, hope, and love, right? I mean, they overturned slavery in England, and you know, on and on the stories go, right? They fight human trafficking. They discover massive breakthroughs in medicine. It saves marriages, right? These are powerful forces. I'm particularly focused on faith and belief right now, but they're also very easily assaulted, undermined. And there is, we have been in this process for years. We are all disciples of the internet for years.
Right.
This isn't a new thing. And again, it's not, no, but I found the news. Okay. It is this process of the erosion of confidence that you can actually know what's true. Most people are not confident that they're holding on to the right information, whether that's nutrition or medicine or politics, or, you know, they just, there's this erosion of confidence. That has an effect. Here's the thing. We would love to believe, well, that's only when it comes to, you know, exercise, nutrition, and retirement plans, but it's not affecting my life with God. You go, really? Well, for one thing, it's taught you to expect immediate answers. Mm-hmm. And we are very, very frustrated with anything that's slow.
Yep.
We're very frustrated with anything that's unclear. Mm. And that weary skepticism, you can't keep that bottled up. It bleeds into your life with God.
I would say too, John, the one other category to add to that is we're also really uncomfortable with the dichotomies, right? And there is that in the kingdom where there can be two things that seem contradictory, but they're both true.
Yeah.
And I think that's as we're talking.
Yeah.
And that's also a part of this day and age where everything can be figured out and every answer can be had, makes us less comfortable with that,
yes.
Right? Free will,
yeah.
And God's sovereignty,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's a big mystery.
Yes.
That seems contradictory.
Yes.
But
yes,
is true.
Suffering and the fact that you are still deeply loved and safe in
yes.
God.
Yes.
How do those things even possibly go together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you guys noticed the effect of being a disciple of the internet? So I was talking to a college student recently, and they were making the pretty smart kid, young adult, and they were making the point, I don't really have to know the things in my college courses. I just have to know where to look for answers. So I don't really have to master it. I just have to know how to get quick answers.
Yeah.
And I found myself going, yeah, but don't you want to be?
Yes.
And they were like, well, in your generation, it was, you know, you used a calculator, so you didn't really have to understand how the math worked. And you just had to punch in the numbers. I'm like, I think, but it felt like a whole different level that the internet has taken us to say, we don't have to know very much about our faith or about much of anything. We just search and get a quick thing and then we move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a rescue from the madness. This isn't a podcast series about technology. It's not. Mm. It's not a podcast series about the internet. It's not a series about where you go for, you know, where the right news source, okay? Or how much vitamin B12 you should be taking. Mm-hmm. That's not the point, okay? The point is we have all been profoundly affected in the soul by being disciples of an internet age and of the process, you know, of quick answers, immediate answers. I want to come back to just that one thought that if you would have said to, you know, Martin Luther, Julian of Norwich, Brother Lawrence, St. John of the Cross, if you go further back, if you would have said to Augustine or St. Anthony, if you would have said to Paul, hey, guess what? I have actually discovered the entire base of human knowledge, and it's available to you in three clicks. They would literally say you have discovered Satan, mm-hmm. like evil, the Antichrist, the end of the age, something. Like they would look at that and go, "Oh my God, that's horrifying." Mm-hmm. I don't want to rush past that. Mm. And just let people sit with that and go, your spiritual forebears, mothers and fathers of the faith, would look at this current situation as something horrible to the human soul, erosive to faith and confidence in God, seductive, manipulative.
John, can you put more words to why would they? What was it about that period of time and about their understanding of the kingdom and life that would have thrown red flags in their face, where we're like the frog in the hot.
Yeah, frog in the kettle. All right. We're going to let people linger with this, but I'll give a little bit of hope towards next week. So we take the mystery thing you were just naming, Alex. The internet has not only taught us that there needs to be no mystery. You can get to the bare facts of anything if you look hard enough, and you need to in order to thrive. That's the danger. That's the seduction. That's the poison. In order to thrive, you have to. Okay. It's going to be overturned tomorrow, but you got it. You have to. They would have looked at the erosion. And it's not just that you don't have to have mystery. If there is mystery, we're immediately suspicious because there must be a scandal behind it. Mm. Somebody's hiding something. Mm. That's what our souls have been discipled into. You take mystery away from the kingdom of God. You take mystery away from God. You strip it of all power and wonder and beauty. They would have said mystery is essential to your walk with God. You are not meant to be omniscient. But the seduction of the internet is omniscience. And it I think we're back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's just right there. We're going to take this slowly, folks. What I'm after, my goal here in this, is the protection of the faculty of faith and belief and a robust confidence that is so critical to our life with God. Like, it's everything. Scripture says that your faith is more precious than all of the wealth you could possibly accumulate. And it is being undermined, has been almost thoroughly and completely eroded in ways that we just weren't even aware of. So we are disciples of the internet. It has profoundly affected our souls. There is a way out. There is a beautiful way out. And we'll get to that as we work through this series together.